Session number 9481.
Mr. Collins, reel 2. So you were saying that they give you dinner there?
That's right, and they'd asked us not to go into the town. They just stay around the area. But we did go into the town, and that evening we went into a cafe there. And we were in the cafe and enjoying air with drinks. And when we come out, there were three gendarmes outside waiting of waiting for us, but they spoke to us when we came out, and they told us to go, they'd have to take us around to their headquarters, the police station. And they walked away, Wally and me, and these three gendarmes. And I was thinking of saying, Wally, we should make a run for it, get away from them. But Wally said, no, we can't do that. They'd catch us in no time. So eventually we went around to the police station, and we told the person in charge there, their officer in charge, who we were, what we were. We were English people touring, just having a weekend tour to France. We told him we'd been to Paris, and he said it was a long way back to Paris. It's, you could see 400 yards ago, 100 miles ago. And I said, well, we're going to attempt it. Is that okay if we go back to the... This policeman said, well, that's your pass isn't up until 12 o'clock tonight. He said, you can go. And he let her go. So I think it's a very good thing on his part, because I'm certain that he knew what we were, where we were going.
Did you have any more problems crossing France?
No, we... next day we met a lorry turned up and was going to take us, and there was quite a number of fellas on it, all types, all nationalities on it, and they drove us off to the Pyrenees, and therefore we had to start, they told us to get off the lorry and have to climb, and we'd have to look out for any police coming along the roads, and if they did, we'd have to dodge onto the highway. Well, it took us almost all night to climb these mountains. And in fact, it was just getting light when we got to the top of the mountains. And we realised that we were in Spain, because we met a Spanish soldier there. And we then were taken down from the top of the mountain to a town called Figueres, which was like a small fortress there. With the town, with us to a castle which was built into the walls, which had no normal walls that you find outside a castle, but big, heavy ramps which you walked up and go into the castle that way. There was also a drawbridge that we could have gone, but the drawbridge was closed, so we couldn't get that way. These people that took us down to this castle showed us how to go into the castle, and where we met members of this international brigade, people who were organising the international brigade inside, and they said that we'd be there for training. They were going to give us a fortnight's training in Figueres.
And did you get it?
Yes, and Wally Clark was put in charge of marching us about, showing us how to drill. And Wally turns the English way out the English people marching step and turn around. But that was all cut out eventually. They said it's too slow, and they showed us a different way to turn it. Now how to fall down if you were attacked, how to dive down to the ground. We had given us a broomstick for rifles to march with. And they showed us how to practice ourselves if we were under fire. But that lasted about a fortnight, that sort of training. But mainly it was drilling and marching around places.
Did conditions in Spain surprise you, or were they what you expected?
Well, the conditions surprised us to a certain extent, because we didn't see much of this Figueres. We were only this castle for all the time we were there, and we weren't allowed outside into the town. And Well, we met a lot of Spaniards who had come in. They were quite decent people, friendly people.
What surprised you about Spain?
Well, mainly the conditions in there. From what we could see, we weren't allowed in the town, but what we could see of it, they looked dilapidated houses. Houses that you wouldn't think people could possibly live in. That was for this town of Figueres.
Where did you go on to then?
Oh, they put us on the train and we went to Barcelona, but we only stayed a short while, then down to Albacete and Tarragona on the coast, and then on to Valencia.
Did you get any impression of a country which was undergoing a revolution at all?
Not at that time, it didn't. But when we were in Valencia, Valencia looked a terrible town with people not doing anything. There was no question of lorries going about or anything, people working at all. People were just walking around and buying food if they could buy it. But they certainly looked in a terrible state, the people in Valencia.
You mean starved?
Starved, yes. And we went down to the docks in Valencia, and we met an English ship that come in, and the English sailors, and we asked them where they come with us, but they were never there. They were against us. They didn't agree with the fascists, but they didn't agree with us either.
Can you remember what they said?
That they suggested that we were wasting our time, that we're participating in something that wasn't our business at all. We should be back in England. And in fact, one of the chaps suggested that we should come up there that night and come on their boat, and he said you could possibly get back to England. What he was into, I think, was to keep us on the boat so that when it came out of sea, we'd let the captain know that we weren't wanting to get back to England, but we didn't want it at all.
These were merchant seamen, were they?
These were merchant seamen, yeah.
So, what was the purpose of you going to Valencia?
Well, it was to meet the lorries that took us up to the training base, which was about 20 miles away, called Albacete.
What was the setup at Albacete when you got there?
Well, it was definitely a military, turned into a military town, because everybody there was a soldier, obviously, so part of the army. And there wasn't many people there at all. But we were given what uniforms they had. In fact, the uniforms they gave us have been captured from the Italians, because a lot of the Italians stole our uniforms. But they put us in these uniforms in a place called Albacete, and they told us that the next day they would take us to our training base, which was a place called Terrazona.
What would have been the date at this time? What month would it have been?
That would have been about, might have been early December or something, because it was cold in certain places, but wasn't cold in Valencia at all.
Had the conditions in Valencia and Spain generally discouraged you? Had it affected your morale?
No, I don't think so. We realised we were on the side of the Spanish people, more so when we were in Valencia, because they were very good. They knew we were foreigners, obviously, and they used to give us salutes as we walked along the streets. We couldn't find anything, any shops open or anything to eat there. There was no food about at all. And that's what we were walking around for, looking for the most things we could buy in a glass of wine.
Did you get into any conversations with Spanish people?
Well, as much as we could talk to them, well, I couldn't talk Spanish at all. And they used to say, just casual remarks, hello, and such things like that, and how do you do, and things, very similar words like that. There's no long conversations with them, but we greet them who we were British, and they greet us, and very pleased to know that we come over to help in this international brigade.
Were all people welcoming, or were there people who were hostile?
Well, I think we only noticed that people were welcoming, and we didn't notice anybody hostile at all.
Can you remember any particular British people you came across at Albacete?
No, I can't remember who. We went up to Albacete. It was about 20 or 30 of us who went up. Mainly were. I think we were there with two English people among them. There were one or two Americans, and there was a chap who could speak very good English, but he was a Dane or something. Could come from Norway that way.
Were you put into a particular unit at Albacete?
Yes. We were the British battalion unit there, which mainly English and Americans were there, with the unit we were in. And we had to go on any training that we did in Albacete, we had to do with these. And it was mainly Americans who were with us at the time.
Were you put into a particular company?
No, not in Albacete. We joined another company when we got up to the International Brigade, which were up there a long way away.
That was where?
They put us in just before we got to Teruel.
Did you go directly from Albacete to Teruel?
Yes.
How did you get there?
Well, mainly we had to go by lorries up to Teruel, and the fighting was still going on when we were there in Teruel. And that's the first introduction I had to any fighting that was there. But going up to Teruel, two other people turned up, two chaps from North Kensington had arrived, and they went up to Teruel with a chap named Dick Moss, who was an Irish student.
Dick what?
Dick Moss. He was an Irish student. And his father, by the way, was the secretary to the people in India. Secretary of India. He was the secretary of it, his father.
And who was the other one?
That was a chap who came from North Kensington, who was George Lamb.
Lamb,
L-A-M-B. He was a musician. This way, he used to play music all day long, and people, I remember in North Kensington, used to complain about where he used to live, about he played the piano from morning to night. He started playing the piano at 8 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't pick up until 8 at night, and they used to complain about him. That was up in West Row, where he used to live in North Kensington.
Can you describe the appearance of the International Brigade setup at Teruel when you got there?
Yes, we had to go up to the so-called headquarters, which was a small group who were meeting in a field. And we met Sam Wilde, who was the secretary of the International Brigade, battalion commander he was, and also one or two others and the other chap was the chap I meet sometimes now, lives over in Uxbridge, named Walker.
He was what?
Chap named Walker. He lives over in Uxbridge now. Bill Walker, I think his name is. And they were in charge of the brigade, and they line it up. The strange thing about it, when we arrived at the brigade, we were we were absolutely different than the rest of the brigade, because we worked out and walked out and with our rifle smartly, and had attention in. And Wally Class was leading us in, and he brought us to a halt in the correct manner, and they were very pleased with it. Sam Wall was very pleased with it. He thought it was very good.
What did the state of morale seem to be amongst the chaps at Teruel?
Do you mean the brigade chaps who were already in?
Yes.
They seemed to be... They were, their morale was very good, but very so much anti-fascist to what everything they said to. And they wanted... The main thing they were wondering was whether they were getting more arms coming in, because the story was that the French, they closed the frontier and weren't allowed any ammunition to cross it. And of course the first thing they get want to know who we had met and where we had come from, what the French people thought of them and such like, and whether any ammunition was coming across, because they were really short of ammunition at the time. All they had was rifles and bullets, no heavy guns or anything like that. Although they had one or two machine guns, so it's two or three machine guns in the whole battalion, which I think it's what's his name in charge of. Well, Frank West was in charge of the brigade, the machine gunners too. And I don't know if they called us, the Sam Wild called us all together. He said, "Now you lads," he said, "you'll be joining the other lads tomorrow," he said, "where the fighting's going on," and told us where we were going and what to look out for and things like that. And
what did he tell you to look out for?
Well, the type of fighting that we'd be in, what he told us about snipers, so mainly, as we were marching up to the Teruel, he said, "You'll have to watch out, ready to dive across the road," because the roads were all up from the fields, all raised, dive on to the fields in case the snipers opened up on us. That's the thing he warned us of. And also, the next day I met someone I'd met in North Kensington, a well-known person, a person who was well-known in London and well-known in Britain, I suppose, Lewis Clive. He had been the secretary of the Oxford rowing boat, and he had also been in the Diamond Sculls, and he was a well-known person. And I understand Lewis Clive was somewhere related to Clive of India. But he was in charge of the group that we marched up with. But Wally Class was just stood down and allowed him to carry on. And Lewis Clive was had been in the army, or had OTCs, I don't know. But he knew all about the army and how it operated. And he took us up to the to the front. We found that it was very high, walk up on Teruel, very high, and they found that where we were, the side of the hill that we were all laid out, which could be seen for miles away. These places where they were growing their vegetables on this hill, and the fascists couldn't use this. Used this as a target, and they said, Lewis Clive told us not that we'd have to go down. We were up to a very long high up, and it was snowing, and he just said we'd have to go down and get away from this target that the fascists were using. And he marched us all down to the bottom of the hill, and boom, boom. All day long we were going lower still, until the snow stopped. And although it was still cold, it wasn't as cold as it was up on the hill. where we were. And also we watched, as we were put in, made so-called slit trenches, trenches that had been dug there, we were, could then see the thatches in the distance, and also people that could see were the Moors, and Moors who were rather, we were really afraid of, because we had terrible stories about the Moors, and we saw the Moors come galloping along towards us, but when they got within 100 yards of us, they just turned around and went back, and they'd done that three times, these Moors. So I think they were just practicing. I didn't have any idea where we were.
And did you open fire?
No, because Clive told us not to do it. He said, don't fire until he orders to do so. He said, but there was no need to fire, really, because they come in about 100 yards and they turn the horses around to go back again where they come from. So we came to the conclusion that what they were doing was just practicing. They didn't know where we were, really.
What company were you in then?
I was the number 4 company, which was there was only 4 companies of the National Brigade, the British Battalion. There was only 4 companies. I was in the number 4 company, but we used to get a lot of support from the Abraham Lincolns, who were Americans.
Who was the company commander?
It was Wally Tapsell. Tapsell, Wally Tapsell.
What did you think of him?
He's a very good chap. He's a real Londoner, and he's talked to us very well. Give us marvellous talks and give us ideas of what we were fighting and how the best way of fighting them. I thought he was very good indeed.
What were your feelings when you got into the front line? Were you nervous or what?
Well, it's strange to say I wasn't nervous at all, because I don't think I knew what fighting was anyway, because I had no idea of people getting killed or anything like that. And I wasn't really nervous, because even though the shells from the fascists were coming over, were coming some falling about 20 or 30 yards away, it didn't seem to worry me at all, even though everybody else would go down flat and dodge where the shells come in. It didn't happen to me. I don't think it was because I was brave or anything like that. I think it was that I really didn't know what war was about.
So what happened next after this incident where the Moors kept approaching your lines?
Yes, well, we had a march more into the town of Teruel, and it wasn't much fighting at all because the fascists had actually left it. Left it, and there was one two very short bursts of fire made at us, which we returned, but nobody got hurt in that day, and during the whole day, nobody got hurt at all. I wasn't much fighting at all, because most of the fighting had been finished with by the time we got to Teruel. But we had to move on. We got orders to move on to another place, because the next place would be a place called Belchite, which would be about 20 yards or 20 miles away. We had to move up towards that place.
So at Teruel, did you actually open fire at all?
Yes, I fired at when these shots came at us. I just fired back, but it wasn't much in it really, because it didn't mean a lot to me really.
Could you see the target that you were firing at?
No, we could see where they were firing from, because where they were firing, the smoke coming out of where the rifle was being fired. And they were about 100 yards away.
So how many rounds did you let off?
About 3 or 4. That's all I was off. But for some of the members fired far more, fired rapid fire, rapidly. Well, I wasn't used to rapid fire, and of course I just fired about 4 all told that day.
Were you satisfied with your weapon?
Yes, I thought my rifle was a brilliant weapon, because it was a Czech weapon. And I always remember when I arrived in the brigade, it was a brand new a rifle that I had, and the Sam Wild and one or two others come down and had a look at it and saw my rifle and had a look at it and inspected it.
So it was brand new, was it?
It was a brand new rifle, yes. Brilliant thing. And anyway, I kept that for 2 or 3 days and they took it away from me to get to somebody else had to go, and I was given a rifle called a Mexikansky from Mexico.
Why did they change it?
Well, I don't know. I've often wondered why that happened, why that was taken away.
Were you having political discussions in the line?
Yes, definitely. We'd have, especially at night time, about a group of us get together and we'd discuss what we've been doing, what we were trying to achieve, and what it was all about,
Were these informal or organised discussions?
Informal. We had one or two organised discussions, but they were outside of the fighting, when they were at a place where there was no fighting at all. They'd organise people come and give us talks about what we're going to try to achieve, things like that.
So were there political or military discussions?
Mainly both, you say, military and political, because the chaps who talked were sort of political men.
What did you think to the political commissar system?
So, I suppose they were okay in the way that they would talk to you and make sure you knew what you were fighting for and what you wanted to achieve, and really put political points to you all the time. And they were very good, I thought, the political commissars, because Wally Tapp, Wally Tapp saw at one time as a political commissar. He was before he took over the brigade.
Did you see any captives from the enemy? Any prisoners from the enemy?
Yes, one or two were brought along and sent right to the back straight away.
Were there Spaniards or Moors?
Spaniards, one or two Moors, but there was about a dozen. I saw about a dozen, I suppose, of us. Two or three might have been Moors, but the rest were Spaniards. Or either Spaniards or Italians.
Were they injured or uninjured?
There was one bloke badly injured. He was being carried.
How did the prisoners seem to be treated?
Well, of course, they got shouted at by the IBs. Really shouted at them when they come along, but they weren't hit or anything. They were just kind of marched back. At the back, there'd be two or three people. Job was to march them, take them back to the headquarters.
Did they seem to be frightened or confident?
I think they were frightened. I think they felt frightened.
Did you have any of your people captured at the time?
Not captured, the ones who killed at the time. During their fighting, they're coming out of Teruel and going on their way to Belchite. There was a shell fire that killed the mate.